Ah, mmm. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Get that out. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Losers Lounge. Man, what a Friday night, huh, guys? Friday night with the fellas?
Wow, the vibes are just off the charts.
Man, we had a good amount of people at the bar tonight.
Yep.
I have never seen it this vibeless.
Oh, there was
not
much.
Never seen it so dead that, like, if this was your first time coming to the bar, you're probably like, liars.
Overrated.
This place sucks, man. Nuggets gave us almost nothing to cheer about. I mean, there are little stretches here or there, yeah. But man, what a weird one. As the Nuggets drop 117-109 to, I want to say, the Atlanta Hawks, but it wasn't really the Hawks.
Nah.
It was the B-League Hawks.
Yeah.
It was the DeJounte Murrays, you know. Absolutely. I mean, it's been a good season, guys. In aggregate, it's been a good season. But the lows have been so low.
So low. There have been some really bad losses.
Like, they have maybe three losses this year that rival any bad loss they've had last season. And we have to talk about one of them tonight. On a Friday, no less. But first, we're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. How are we doing our bets, Dev? We at least got rich tonight, didn't we?
No, I'm not going to say we got rich. We did okay.
Did we do okay?
Nothing was fun about the game. So, I don't understand.
What are we going to do for an hour?
We got some wins.
Best part of the night was the Bones Highland and salmon burgers that me and Dev pounded.
So good.
That personally was delivered by Chef Daniel.
Oh,
the best.
It was the best.
All right, so I'll introduce the squad over here. This tonight was so bad, Vote didn't even hang out with us.
I know. I didn't see him all night.
I know. I did. It's so true. I just came up here to mope.
You were up here the whole game by yourself. How was it? Was it cool up here?
No, it was cold and lonely and sad. Yeah,
man, it was the same down there. It was the same vibe. Wow. Over here, I got Harrison Wind.
All I'll say is thank God they beat the Rockets twice.
Man, we would not be.
The Lord.
Oh, we would not be having a good time if they didn't. And then Superstar Dev over here.
It really, really, really sucked at the bar because this had the makings to be like a wonderful night at the bar. There was a lot of
it
new
did.
People.
The people
there
were
so
it.
Many like Nuggets fans here
it had
at
all the
bar.
Ingredients.
And it was a lot of them. Yeah. There was like two times that they got to cheer and they were so excited about that really this had the makings of a nice Friday night with the fellas.
Nuggets had the lead in that, third or fourth quarter? It was third quarter. They had it for like 10 seconds, and the bar was like, here we go, baby, turn that music up.
Yeah.
And then it was like over. Do you guys want a fast recap? Do you guys want to suffer a slow and excruciating recap? This is why I said the night had no vibes. 13-2 start for Atlanta. 13-2.
Right off the bat.
Opening tip, they go down and score. Downhill from there. And this is what was so tough about it is we all could tell from that stretch. Michael Malone calls a rage timeout, an appropriate one. We could all tell, like, Nuggets don't have it tonight.
It's going to be one of those nights. That's when you knew.
100% right away you were kind of waiting for, okay, blowout or disappointing one. You're like, God damn it. We got that one. Bones and Vlatko were the first sub. Bones back into the rotation. Lots to talk about with him. The first, he had 9 points in 4 minutes. He got to the rim with ease. Spread, pick, and roll. I mean, starters were so disappointing. You're like, all right, can the bench come in and give a little bit of a jolt? And I thought that they did. And Bones in particular was just getting to the rim with his quickness. And it was good to see. Then you get Ish and Bones together. Didn't quite look like it did in the preseason all game. I actually thought it was a really bad combination tonight. Defensively, but even offensively, it was bad. And the Nuggets are down 28-25 to the Hawks at the end of one. Aaron Gordon comes in before Jokic. A weird thing happened, and there's a lot of weirdness in this game. One weird thing was Jokic ended up playing 11 minutes in the first quarter. I think Michael Malone left him in one whistle too long. Then he ends up getting fouled. Malone tried to sub him out. There was a guy at the scorer's table for 2 minutes. Jokic plays like it just changed the whole rotation. So then in the second quarter, Aaron Gordon came in before Jokic. They usually come in together. Jokic, it was like everything about this game just felt off, felt weird. And Jokic looked terrible. He was getting beat to every... Jokic in the first half of tonight's game was among the worst I've ever seen him.
He just didn't show up to work.
Like,
didn't show up to work.
Was he just depressed about the Serbia loss earlier today?
I was going to make the joke that he gave an homage to the Serbian soccer team by getting dominated by a Swiss player. Which is what happened in this game. I hate to say it. I'm trying to bring you the truth here. This first half, he was just getting absolutely dominated. We're getting down votes left and right. And then so here's what happens. You play with fire and you get burned because the Hawks were not good, but they were still beating Denver because that's how bad Denver was. Then Denver tried to turn it on out of a timeout, but the Hawks just hit like five shots in a row. A little just ran hot. But that's what happens. When you're down eight, you're vulnerable to another team getting hot two, three, four possessions in a row. And what do you know? Denver's down 60. Yes, 60 points to this Hawks team that's missing half of their scorers. They're down 60-46. Third quarter, Jokic comes out aggressive. Plays great. Honestly, a dominant third quarter. He looked like peak Jokic. Prime Jokic knew what he needed. He looked pissed. He looked frustrated. He looked mad. He looked mean. And I think he had 15 points in that third quarter. Mm-hmm. He hits a three on the very first play. Like he came out knowing he was going to shoot a three. Drained it. Went into MVP mode. And then they took the lead in the third quarter, as I mentioned, onto Jokic three. If there's one silver lining to tonight's game, what did Jok have on threes? Three of them? Or two of them? Or what
was it? He's been quietly hot from three.
Quietly hot from three. Woohoo! and they took it. Then, and this is where I think the game really boiled down to, Michael Malone, the Nuggets, man, we talk about how weird the season has been with guys in and out of their lineup. I did not see the Ish, Bones, Jamal lineup getting minutes tonight.
What a time to try it.
Yeah.
What a time to try it. Up one.
It was
one,
a surprise to see that lineup.
Up one, and it was a disaster. They got absolutely smoked in the final 2 minutes of the third quarter after taking a lead. Immediately after fighting back from 14 down, you take the lead.
Yeah.
You roll out a crazy lineup, and it gets absolutely steamrolled. And 90-81 means Denver, after having a heroic third quarter from Jokic, really kind of turning it on, they actually only made up 5 points at the end of it. Absolutely backbreaking. Fourth quarter, Murray started to cook a little bit, but it came down to this. They needed to get stops. They were scoring, but they needed to get stops. The entire quarter went by. Denver just could not get any stops. They give up 27 points in that fourth quarter, which if you're trying to come back from down nine, 27 ain't going to cut it. You got to hold them to 18, 19, 20. Denver just was not up for the task. DeJounte Murray, noted trash talker, gets to talk his trash tonight as he drops 34 points. Meh. He had nobody to pass to. He had nobody to play with. Didn't matter. Denver couldn't keep him in front. And he went ham on him. 34 points and 8 assists. 13 of 22 shooting. And at the end of the game, we were waiting for it, Dev. Dev, we were sitting there talking about it. This guy's going to talk some trash. He waited till it was over.
Oh, man.
Let him hear it.
Oh, man. Got the rebound and started flexing. He's all in guys' faces and things like that. Like, that guy, he's going to talk cash shit when he's up.
Yep. And he was up. And he got
and he was up.
And he was up. It. All right, vote. You have the unlucky task of starting us off with your big take.
There's one I want to get to. I think Wood's going to get to it, so I'm going to audible. I'll start. I thought it was a really strange night for Michael Malone. He's had to tinker all year with varying success and results. I thought tonight was one of those maybe kind of outsmarted himself nights. The three-point guard lineup you mentioned was bizarre. It's all easy to say in hindsight, but, you know, I'm sure plenty were saying as it unfolded. Maybe a good night for Christian Brown over Davon Reed or Zeke Nnaji over DeAndre Jordan. Neither materialized. He got to a five-man lineup. That lineup actually played well together, but even still, that's kind of an unprincipled issue for me after he said he can't do that anymore. He's done it two or three times. I just thought there were some weird times to try some weird lineups tonight, and it may have, among other factors to be clear, it may have cost them a winnable game.
I mean, it was that moment, that sequence. I mean, you talk about there's a lot of runs in
Ish
a game.
Smith played way too much tonight.
There's a lot of runs in a game, but there's one moment where it was very clear, like you just climbed the mountaintop. What do? Throw a Hail Mary. I mean, it's like, come on, weird. Man. That was really was weird. Win, what's your big takeaway? That's
Look,
a good one.
The Nuggets put all their resources into getting way better defensively this summer.
We're just going to go right into it, huh? I mean, it is the story.
They traded for KCP. They signed Bruce Brown. They drafted Christian Brown. Is he still on the team? I don't even know.
He didn't make the trip to Atlanta, right?
He was on the bench.
No, he was on the injury report, though. He's kind of banged up.
I don't think he was on
the
injury
report. He wasn't on the injury report.
No, he was available, fellas.
Oh, he missed the NPCD.
Does he miss the bus? Yeah.
Maybe.
No, at it's because point, he...
Maybe.
Maybe he forgot to box out one time 3 games ago when Denver was up 20 on Houston or something. Yeah. I don't know. He did something.
Anyways, the Nuggets, their goal this summer was to get better defensively. I thought they did. somehow
they got worse.
They're not just worse. They're significantly worse defensively so far than they were last season.
Oh, my God.
And last season, they did not have a good defensive roster at all. They were 15th in the league, right in the middle. They're in the mid-20s now defensively, and against the Hawks tonight without Trae Young, with only two of their five starters, they let Atlanta put up 117 on them. The Hawks are the 20th ranked offense in the NBA. They're not even a good offense when Trae Young is playing.
And this was the defensive starting lineup.
Bruce Brown. Right. So that's the biggest question I have for the Nuggets right now. It's why is that the case? Why are they significantly worse defensively now than they were last season?
Do we have a theory?
I don't know.
Every theory feels too hot to say. Is that what it is?
I just don't know. I don't know.
Dev, do you have a theory before you get to your take? Do you agree with Wind?
I definitely agree. I think we'll get around to talking about how bad the defense
was. All right.
My big takeaway from that game was just how piss poor of an effort that was all across the board. There's not just one guy that you can single out. It starts with coaching. There were some very questionable decisions made in that game where I felt like Malone got cute. This is not the team to get cute against, and also they were down. Jokic came out super flat. Stars don't do those type of things in these type of games. Also, you don't lose if you want to call yourself a contender or a championship team. You don't lose to the Hawks without three of their starters and also their best player. Like, it just doesn't make sense. So this was just not a fun game, but also it just shows you how far they have to go.
Yeah. I mean, the takeaway, I mean, how far you have to go, like, we keep wondering, Denver had a bit of a soft, it was a tough November in terms of travel and sickness and all those things, but it wasn't tough in terms of, like, did you have a lot of measuring stick games in there? This was not a measuring stick game, by the way, but it was just one that you thought, like, no, they're a good team. Oh, you get handed a thing. Good teams win these. And to not just lose, but to kind of get smacked is so disappointing. But the big takeaway for me, first of all, I'm with you, Harrison. Let's talk a lot about the defense. But the big takeaway for me is I'm sick of this yoke.
Yeah.
I'm just sick of it, man. Yeah, like, he's too good.
It's a big part
of it. He's too good to come out. And he was dominant in the third quarter. Why not set the tone? Like, I understand the yoke that wants to set the table and get other people involved. That's an understandable thing. He was flat-footed in the first half. He was on his heels. There were so many plays where he just didn't, like, try for it, didn't go for it. And it's like, man, you do so many things as a great leader of this team, but you can't do that. I think Yoke knows we could turn it on, and, like, the third quarter was sort of proof of that, of, like, okay, now it's time to do this. And look, we stormed back from down 14 to catch up. They caught up, like, immediately. They closed that gap so quickly.
Yeah.
But you can't do it. Do that in the first half. Give yourself a 20-point lead, and then if you need to take a little bit of a rest, I get it. But so I'm with you on the defense. That's probably my main takeaway, but I just have to say, this was a really discouraging game from Jokic, and I know when you look at the stat sheet, you're going to sit there and go, he was by far the best Nugget. He ended up with 24 points on 10 of 15 shooting, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. But I'm sorry, he was a -8 in this game too, by the way. But I'm sorry, those stats lie in that, and a very crucial part of this game, he just wasn't about it.
I also think that's part of the answer to the question we were asking before, in terms of, like, the defense. I think that's... There's less urgency, I think, for Jokic for the whole campaign because of what's no longer necessary every single night. And I think a symptom of that has been a willingness to let things drop below a certain threshold defensively. And there are certain rebounds, too, where I'm not even talking about his rebounding numbers. There's just moments throughout the game where you're like, last year, there's no chance that rebound gets passed.
Yeah, right.
Capella got one on him tonight in the first half.
Yeah, that's effort.
Just an effort rebound, yeah.
And this was, I think, what people were talking about in the first five or six games of the season. It's not even about the shot distribution. It's just, you can just see it, the effort isn't there. And I thought tonight it reared its head again. And look, if he treats that game like, to me, I've said it before, this game is a good example of, and I still believe in him, I'm not, but the difference between Jokic and Giannis right now is Giannis would just never let this game, they might lose this game for a million for different reasons, but he would never let it go that way. And I just think it's, I'm not saying, like, trade Jokic, but I think it's fair to sit here in this chair and say tonight they could have used more from him.
They could have used.
Giannis did lose to the Lakers tonight.
That's a good point.
But no, the Jokic thing was my other takeaway, like, to be honest. He was awful to open the first quarter. He was asleep, and we were like, there's something wrong with him. He looks like he's moving slow. He's flat-footed. And then
I was like, oh, God, is he sick?
Yeah, like it seemed like he was playing in such slow motion that it looked like there was something wrong with him. But then he comes out in the third quarter and he's fine. So obviously there wasn't. But I feel like there is a difference between Jokic like conserving himself like he did against the Rockets.
Right.
And how he did tonight. I mean, he didn't expend a ton of energy against the Rockets in either of those two games, but he was still a force.
Right.
You know, he was just lax tonight.
Right.
You know, you didn't feel Nikola Jokic in the first quarter
at all,
and really
at
the
all.
First half tonight. You didn't feel him.
Yeah, you talk about Jokic coming out, you know, lax. Then you also talk about like guys like Giannis and things like that. But that's the thing that is actually so bad about Jokic is he's comfortable. He needs to set the tone, and I think that's what separates him from those type of guys. Those guys are taking every single thing serious, like they just are. You go back to the preseason; he didn't take a shot. That sets the tone for the year. He's not, you know, trying to be.
I will say this though: there's a way that you could not take a shot and still be aggressive. Right. And
be dominant.
But I think he struck that balance more or less in the early parts of this preseason and this or that. I still think there was a balance of that.
Tonight, I don't. But I think it's more about not even just taking shots. I want him to set the tone that guys know who he is. And who they have to be, like
that's the part. Guys that's the part
on the Nuggets have to know, like this is going to be our guy. He's going to you know, dominate on defense. He's going to dominate on offense. We're going to just go through him every single time. I don't think that you get that. And this is a game where really he should have dominated with 45, 10-10. Because
he's never had like an elite game against Capella,
and against guys that you're supposed to go off against. Like Capella is not a elite defensive guy. You go against him.
He's good.
They don't have a guy that's alongside him because Collins is out. You just gotta DeJounte Murray. I feel like they set picks to get him on a guy that just has no business guarding him. They don't do that for Jokic. They just kind of like settle. And don't put him in those type of situations. He also doesn't force those type of situations. I want him to get to that where he's just like, hey, this guy's on me. I'm going to score every single time. Or I'm going to make sure that I rinse, repeat until I can do it.
The thing you said, he needs to have 40 or this or that. To be honest, he could have had 24, 10, and 8 tonight, and it would have been dominant if you set the tone early. Because, again, Atlanta is a team that this was almost a practice game for them. Bogdan Bogdanovic is coming back. He hasn't played in a year. Everybody else is out. You got all these guys out. You come out and just break their will right away.
Right.
And guess what? Your team has confidence. They lose their rhythm, and now you assert the tone. You give up 13-2 as a team. I'm putting this a lot on Jokic because I felt like his energy was the one that was the most obvious on it, but it's the whole team. But you come out and give them 13-2, and those guys go, you know what? We could do this. And it would be pretty dope if we did do it tonight. And it just changes the tone. So Jokic to me was a real frustrating one. This was a frustrating one. And it's crazy because he was absolutely dominant in the third in a way that you're like, just do that right off the beginning.
Yeah, that felt like a choice.
That felt like a choice. It felt like you were like, you know what? I'm going to do this quarter. Just take over. And he did. So, but let's get back to the defense because I agree that this is a big one. They hire Ryan Saunders, right? We're told he's a defensive guy. He's coming in to be a defensive guy, which, by the way, Minnesota had a terrible defense. So it's a little bit of, it was a skeptical decision then. You bring in all those guys to your point. This is why somebody asked me, does every team lose to bad teams? And the answer is yes. Even good teams lose to bad ones. But Denver now has three in a row. Their last three losses are to the New York Knicks on the second night of a road back-to-back between Salt Lake and Denver, the toughest back-to-back in the NBA. That's to the Detroit Pistons at home. And now it's to the Atlanta Hawks, who are missing half their roster. Those are three in a row bad lot. When you're talking about your losses, those are really bad. But the difference to me between Denver and other teams, everybody has let-up games. Usually that means you were lost focus on offense, you didn't make shots, the other team ran hot, what have you. The thing for that is usually good teams can do the easy parts. Denver can't on the defensive end. They can defend well when they're locked in and when they're playing hard. And we saw that in the third. But you have to be able to do the parts on defense that are just like, hey, we execute naturally. We can default setting good defense through execution and discipline, this or that. They don't have that. What they have is their default medium setting is 25th best defense in the NBA. And on nights like tonight, they give up. What was the numbers on this? It was like a 130 defensive rating.
I think it was in the high
Hawks.
120s.
124 according to Cleaning the Grass, which, by the way, would be the worst defensive rating all time. So that's the thing to me. When yes, every team has letdown games. Denver, though, their defense is so bad on average that when they have a bad night, it's hopeless.
They can't stay in front of everyone. They don't have any rim protection, and we know that. Yeah. And that's one layer of it. But so compounded by the fact that they, for all the individual defensive prowess added, they don't stay in front of anyone. You know, Bruce Brown is a high, high energy, high impact player in myriad ways. He doesn't stay in front of guys, or he's not right now. Like, not a one-on-one, sit down, I'm going to shut you down guy. You know, I know he was against Tatum and Malone's eyes in that series this season in a Denver uniform. He hasn't been. AG, who has done so much so well as a Nugget this season, I think he's had a great season. He has not been a plus defender in like a year in terms of just staying in front of guys on the perimeter. That, you know, I thought Jamal had a hard time tonight. They just don't stay in front of anyone. And it's when you don't stay in front of anyone and you can't protect the rim, I mean, you're going to give up a lot of points.
Yeah.
When you talk about having adjustments and things like that, that's something that stood out in this game. We all knew that the Hawks was going to just set that pick and roll every single time and just attack whoever the second man is. And they did not adjust to that in the correct ways where DeJounte Murray just feels guys coming. They didn't send a double team until like the last minute of the game just to get it out of his hands or make them have to guess. This is a team that had guys that are rookies. They have guys that are all the way at the end of other benches and things like that. Make those guys beat you. Not DeJounte Murray, who you know is such a talented guy, especially in the pick and roll. That's where he excels at. So, like, having your primary defender on him, but then having that switch, I just don't understand why there wasn't a way to just make him have to get the ball out of his hands. And I think that those adjustments is why teams are lighting them up, especially the best player on every other team. Yeah. Whoever the best player is, they light up Denver. And I think that they relish those opportunities because they know that's how Denver is going to actually defend every single time.
Yeah, I think that's a good point on DeJounte Murray. Like, he lives in the mid-range. Few guards take a higher percentage of their shots from mid-range than DeJounte Murray does. He just got to his spot every time.
Yes, every time.
Denver just made it so easy for him tonight. High pick and roll, boom. Here's the foul line. You want to take the jumper? Here it is. And that's been the case, I feel like, for like every Nuggets defense of the Jokic era.
Right.
They really just, I feel like, make it easy on guys. They let guys get to their sweet spots way too easily. It's always been a theme, and just like that was the thing I took away from tonight. It was just easy for DeJounte Murray.
And I like Dev's point about sometimes you make an adjustment that's not necessarily more intuitive, but it's just like, we're losing this one. Let's see if they can beat us another way. And one of those is, all right, you're short a bunch of guys. And when Denver, by the way, when they're down 14, I don't have a lot of faith in like, let's like give up open shots to this guy or that guy. But when you get it close, maybe that's a time when you say, all right, let's try to do this. When DeJounte Murray scores 12 in a row, maybe that's a time when you say, you know what, let's just see if Jalen Johnson, let's see if he can take it. What happens if we force the
double
ball
into his hands? Maybe.
Yeah, get the ball out, and then we'll worry about the scramble later. But let's force the ball and the decision-making into his hands or what have you. So, I agree with you. Like, sometimes you just have to be willing to throw some other things up. But I will say this. You mentioned Bruce Brown earlier. The thing that's concerning about Bruce Brown for me all year is he does do some things defensively that are very, very nice. He's kind of small.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter.
It doesn't matter. Like, DeJounte Murray, he played good defense on him, quote unquote, good defense on DeJounte Murray. But DeJounte Murray could just get to his spot by virtue of, I'm too big, I'm going to go right here, and then elevate. And Bruce Brown would get a hand up and he'd be right there, chest to chest. And DeJounte Murray didn't see him. He's like, yeah, you're too little, man. I'm going to do this one.
I think that's the biggest thing when you go back to the question of how are the Nuggets this bad on defense. They have nobody on the squad that anybody fears. Nobody.
Yeah, it's
like, there's when you have a star in the other team, they're not like, oh my gosh, I have to play against Aaron Gordon. I have to play against Bruce Brown.
So hard to score on these guys.
They
man,
just
I
don't
work
have those guys. Like, we overrate them as being good defenders because that's, you know, they're the best defenders that Denver has had in a while. But they don't put fear in opposing teams and opposing stars. And I feel like that's what the biggest difference is between, you know, all the contending teams or the championship teams. They have at least a guy that's going to make it very hard on the opposing team, or like that they're like, hey, I know I'm going to have to work extremely hard when I have to go against this guy. We could throw this guy out there if, you know, things get tough. And sometimes you're going to get lit up, but they're going to respect it. They're going to have to adjust to it. Denver doesn't have that guy.
They don't. Let's take a break. We got to talk more about this defense on the other side. We also have to talk about Bones Highland, Ish Smith. Those guys playing together, how did that look? Lots of other things to kind of dissect from this ugly Friday night loss.
Ooh. Guys, if you need tickets to sporting events, Nuggets games, Broncos games, Avalanche games, hit up the Game Time app. If you need tickets to concerts or shows, hit up the Game Time app as well. Use our link in the YouTube description. Use the link in the podcast description if you're listening to this there as well. Game Time has these great last-minute price drops, so you don't have to mess around and compare all the prices on those third-party websites. Just download the Game Time app, use our description, or use the link in our description. Use Game Time for all your ticketing needs, concerts, shows, sporting events, whatever you need. Make sure to use the Game Time app. It's also open enrollment time for individual health plans now through January 15th. The Denver Health Medical Plans, they offer the Elevate Exchange plans available on the Connect for Health Marketplace. Look, if you're an individual or if you're a family looking for cost-effective quality health insurance, maybe you don't get it through your employer. Maybe you are self-employed and need to get coverage. Check out their Elevate Exchange plans. They offer adult, dental, and vision at no additional cost. So give them a call, 303-602-4912, 303-602-4912. You can also go online, denverhealthmedicalplan.org. The open enrollment for the exchange runs November 1st through January 15th. Enroll by December 15th to have your coverage begin on January 1st.
Alrighty, back here, segment two. One guy, and this is, there's other bigger topics, I think, from tonight, but one thing I keep thinking about, you know, we talk about added defensive personnel. We talk about having not having the size, a height to guard DeJounte Murray. You know, of everybody that's on the roster for the Denver Nuggets, the guy that's probably best equipped to handle him, in my opinion, is Christian Brown. Mm-hmm. A very good on-ball defensive player, and in particular, good when size is required, like against quick guards. Like that's, I kind of have been contemplating this article. Maybe it's time to work on this one, where you talk about Denver has some good defensive players, but they don't have an all-encompassing guy that's good at everything. It's almost like, you need a guy to go around screens. KCP's your guy. He navigates screens really well. He's long, this or that. You need a guy that's going to shadow one-on-one. Christian Brown's your guy. You need Bruce Brown, a guy that's going to create steals or kind of get in lanes or something like that. You know, they have different guys. Vlatko Chanchar has his own type of on-ball defense that's good. Christian Brown, to me, is the guy that if you said DeJounte Murray, it'd be like, hey, that's a guy. I don't know what he did. Honest to God, I don't know what he did to get in the doghouse. Some other guys have played well, so maybe that's it. Like, Ish Smith had a really good run these last couple games, so maybe it's less he did bad things, other guys did good things. But tonight, I know what Malone, without even being in the press conference tonight, I know what Malone's going to say. How do you let a guy like DeJounte Murray get 34 points? They're missing this. How does nobody step up to the assignment? You brought in defensive guys, man. Why is the leash so short of them? Davon Reed was out there tonight, man, and, like, getting absolutely cooked defensively.
Davon Reed went from, like, out of the rotation to playing 20 plus minutes every single game like that.
And he didn't, and I'm not trying to be a jerk, but it's not like he did something well like earn that, you know?
Right.
It was just a change of heart from Malone.
So is it a big deal? Is Christian Dev big deal or not a big deal that he's just like out of the rotation when he seems like at least in theory, a project that can become the type of guy they need?
I think it's a pretty big deal because you're a coach that talks about defense and wanting to be better, and that's what he brings to the table. Yeah. He's also been a lot better offensively, and you just talked about the strengths that you could bring from your lineups, like what the strengths of an Ish Smith, the strengths of a, you know, DeAndre, just like guys that you could put in situational times. This was a perfect situation for a guy that is bigger, fast and can stay with a guard who has size. That's Christian Brown. He could have played in this. You already tried to tinker the lineup, and you had, like, you got cute with an Ish Smith and Bones on the floor at the exact same time. Do either of those guys bring defense? Do either of those guys scare the other? DeJounte Murray saw that and he said, yes, please.
Yes.
You know, like, he started licking his fingers as soon as that happened. So why not, like, just give another try out there? You put, And then it's not to keep attacking him, but you throw Davon Reed out there for 6 minutes. Why not give Christian Brown 6 minutes just to see if that's something that they would have to adjust to?
6 minutes,
if that's something that could, they could do.
6 minutes is also like the I don't trust you minutes. That's the
yeah, it's like we're going to see how it works. See.
I'm with you, but at the same time, Davon Reed barely was out there too. He was out there enough because it was not good, but.
Yeah, but just throw a guy out there just to see. And I think Christian Brown is a guy that he answers what you desperately need right now, and that's a spark and defense. He does both of those things. He checks it off.
And just to add to that, what was weird was then he goes, okay, the Davon thing didn't work. Looks right past Christian. Let me get Ish out there with two other guards. Yeah. Like, that was a weird adjustment.
I feel like this is one of Michael Malone's weaknesses. I think there's two that we have seen over this era. One is I don't feel like he does a good job when the game plan changes last minute. I mean, they lost the last one to Detroit when Murray and Jokic are in. Like, okay, everything changes. Do I adjust on the fly? Am I able to read it? They've been terrible in third quarters for how long? It's like, hey, are you – you came in with a game plan. I think he's very good at preparing. You know, even in playoff series, he prepares very well. But when there's a curveball thrown at the last minute, I feel like he just doesn't know what to do. And then number two, I would say this. When you have, I think Michael Malone likes to have his 10 guys, and it's hell or high water. These are our guys. And I don't know if he's wrong about that. Ish Smith was not the answer to tonight's problem. I mean, it was very clear to me that he wasn't, but he's one of the guys. And it's like, yeah, maybe tonight calls for a different combo of guys. And there are coaches out there that are like, hey, you played six games in a row. You were playing great. Now you're not playing this one because it calls for a different thing, and you're the eighth guy, and it doesn't matter. Like, yeah. You need to be good with that. Tonight, I just feel like this was probably more of a Brown night, less of an Ish night, totally. And it just never got there.
Well, we were talking on the pregame show, like, maybe we'll get to see Ish Smith and Bones Highland together. We haven't seen that this season. I was a little excited to see that.
Yeah.
We saw that in the first half. Yeah. Cool. Like, there was no reason to play it in the second half. We saw in the first half that wasn't going to be what Denver needed.
It did not have a good flow tonight, offensively even. And I'll be honest, I mean, all of these things are connected because we're talking about Ish, we're talking about Brown, but Bones made his return tonight, and he did a great job of scoring. He made 6 of 11 shots tonight, had 16 points on 11 shots.
Yep.
I don't think he did a good one. Defensively, he was pretty bad. He was really bad. And then two, I don't think that the offense flowed. Like, even though he was scoring, I don't feel like it was a productive offensive unit. Yeah. And I kept picturing, if you have him and Ish out there, the ball being just a little bit more in Ish's hands to start, finding its way to Bones and then Bones attacking. There just was a lot of possessions where it was kind of Bones.
Yeah, I agree. And then you've got the Christian Brown thing. I mean, of course, I think he should have been playing tonight. I feel like he should have been playing the entire season. What is Davon Reed better at than Christian Brown?
Shooting.
That's the only thing. Three-point shooting.
And scoring in general.
But he hasn't done it lately. But he hasn't done
really?
It lately. I mean, Christian doesn't score.
Christian Brown, yeah.
Christian,
I mean, Davon Reed went like 0-7 against the Thunder. A couple, two weeks ago.
The guy they were helping off of. You're not wrong. I mean, you're not wrong.
Christian Brown, I've been saying this all season, man. He just makes stuff happen on the defensive end. He gets steals. He gets deflections. He forces turnovers. He chases down rebounds that other guys don't, that Davon Reed doesn't. He makes stuff happen. He just gets it going. Like, he gets the people going, and that's what Denver needed tonight, I felt like. I have no idea why he's not playing. And also, I know, like, you were just talking about how Malone has his guys that he's rolling with, his 10-man rotation. I believe that maybe your rotation actually shouldn't be totally set in stone. I think with a team like the Nuggets, you have Christian Brown, you have Zeke Nnaji, you have Ish Smith, DeAndre Jordan. I think the last couple members of your bench on a team like this should be matchup based. Right. I just do. I don't think you should have a 5-man bench that's absolutely locked in every single night. You have the versatility, particularly on the defensive end, and then you have like an instant offense guy like Ish Smith, to where I think you can mix and match with who the Nuggets
have.
I
agree with that one. Is there a good enough 5-man lineup? Is there even a good enough 5-man lineup where it's like, okay, you got to get to those guys?
Yeah, when Michael Porter's playing.
Right.
But he's not right now.
Dev, how do you look at all this?
I was going to say, just to piggyback off of Harrison, I think you do the exact same things, even just defensively. Like, when you talk about those 5-man lineups, it's the same. I think that there should be times that you look at the schedule and you say, hey, this is a DeAndre Jordan type of night. This is a Christian Brown night. This was clearly a Christian Brown night. And also, I would say even Zeke Nagy, like just having a guy that you could switch on and then he could hold his own against. That's not a team that had a lot of size. So you don't need to go just a straight big man lineup. So you have a guy in Zeke Nagy who could step out on a guard and hold his own for a couple of minutes. You have a guy in Christian Brown that could step out on a guard and make him work a lot harder. He's not seeing over him. DeJounte Murray's seeing over Bones in the pick and roll, which he just continued to do over and over. He didn't care if he had Ish Smith on him. He knew that that wasn't going to happen, and they still kept on going with it. But yeah, you just have to just continue to tinker with lineups and be situational offensively and defensively, or you're just going to keep getting ate up against these really good offensive guys.
Yeah. I'm curious to see if Denver changes anything up there. I feel like Matt, this is my colleague on Locked On, Matt Moore, his take is that Malone seems to get worse when he has more guys. The more guys you have, the more complicated it can get for us.
It really looks like it. Yeah. And you even like right before tip-off, you go, they threw a wrench in the lineup, and Denver doesn't do well when they throw a wrench in the lineup. And then we see them come out flatter than they've ever came out.
Yeah, like, oh, man, we had a plan, and now it's different. And I don't know what to do, and there's nothing there. Maybe some rigidity there. Ish Smith was also just bad tonight. I mean, some of this is like combos and line of mess. Ish just kind of was also not great.
I really like Ish.
Me too.
I do think there's a little bit of like, you know, he's going to beat up on the bottom feeders, and we're going to want to go like, hey, rotation minutes.
This was your big take the last few games, and it was almost prophetic. You were setting the table for this one.
Yeah. And I'm not, believe me, I love Mason Smith, Tiny Kings forever. But I think it's a two-sided thing. When you go, hey, man, there's a reason he's been in the league 13 years. That's true. There's also a reason he's been essentially a third stringer for most of those thirds. And I think both of those things are true at the same time. So there was a little bit of the same thing Malone did with Faku in year two with Ish tonight. He loved the way he played, that he played so hard, that he was an extension of the coach on the floor. And he said, that's a guy I trust.
Right.
We've seen it before, right?
You like that one, don't
you? It's a good comparison. It was good.
It is true, though. You're setting the table was, you know, we're coming off of two feel-good wins, easy, comfortable wins. They're against the Houston Rockets. That team was terrible. And more to the point, like, that team couldn't guard anyone, so you knew that you were always going to be okay. And, of course, everyone looked good. It was important to couch that. I mean, Denver's win streak right now, what is it? Oklahoma City, two Houstons. Who was before that?
Okay, Orlando. Not Orlando. OKC.
Clippers.
Clippers.
That's a good one. I mean, they were shorthanded, but I don't know how to quantify that one. Anything else from the bench? Dev, I'm curious what you thought of Bones tonight.
Bones? Good offensively. It was great to see him come back and be able to play like his full allotment of minutes, bring that energy. Sorry. On defense, really, they just attacked him a lot. And he is, I think that he might be the worst on the team when it comes to those pick and rolls. And that was a team that going to pick and roll to you to death. Like he's dying on screens. He's not trying to get through. Once he gets put onto, DeJounte Murray, it was so easy for him. And it was other guys too. It's not just DeJounte Murray, but like they force switches. It's a mismatch every time where they have a guy that's bigger than him, which is pretty much everybody on the floor. And it just made it hard for him to score on one end and then get attacked on the other end where it just ended up being lopsided. So, great to see him score and be himself, but you need more on the defensive end.
I also thought with Bones, we saw a little bit of, you know, the questions about how his year would go in some ways had less to do with talent and more to do with other things. Like, you know, that possession to close the quarter and he turns it over, you know, like those like little things that him as the leader of that unit or as a guard getting on the floor with the starters, you know, can't happen. The managing the game stuff. So we're seeing some of those bumps in the road for him as well that I think you were pretty big on this in the preseason. He was going to have to learn some of these lessons, not just about how good he is.
Right.
He had four turnovers tonight
right.
in 22 minutes. Like, just not good enough.
Yeah. The turnovers can be an absolute killer. Man, what a bummer of a game. What an absolute bummer of a game.
The bench, like, these last two or three games with Michael Porter out, I almost feel like they need Vlatko Chanchar to be, like, a playmaking offensive threat.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of need his scoring, I feel like.
You know,
he had 12 points tonight.
On 5 of 8 shooting, man. Yeah. Like, I mean,
he's been scoring, and been knocking out his threes. The bench kind of needs it.
I agree.
It's weird.
Vlacco, to me, is the most solid. We didn't talk about DeAndre or Vlacco, both of whom I thought were fine tonight. They were
Vlacco
not remarkable.
Vlacco scored double figures 3 of his last 4 games.
There you go. By the way, defensive ratings tonight, who do you think had the worst on the team?
Yoke?
There's one that was a big outlier. It was Ish Smith. Ish Smith tonight on the court for 17 and a half minutes. Oh, Denver had a 142 defensive rating. Now, again, some of this is just noise, but 142 is like, you're getting cooked, man.
You're scoring every
position. First of all, nobody looked good tonight when you look at the advanced stats. Like, everybody, Jamal Murray had the best defensive rating. KCP did a 111.
That lineup with Jamal, Ish, and Bones, and Vlatko and Jokic was crazy.
What the shit
I don't think we'll ever see that again.
Wild.
I don't want to ever see that.
We'll never see that again.
I'm shocked that I ever seen that.
I'm telling you, man. This was a weird one.
They're only missing one rotation player.
Yeah. This was a weird one. Let's take a break. On the other side, I do want to kind of start now ask the big question, which is the defense doesn't improve anytime soon. Like, what do we make of this? Like, how much pressure goes on a team if you can't? I mean, look, we've said this before. Denver's a good team. They're not bad. But how can you say they're a contender the deeper you get in if you keep giving up 130 defensive ratings to not good teams? We'll talk about that on the other side.
Guys, Breckenridge Brewery is the official beer of DNVR. And it's back. The Mile High City Copper Lager. Get on it. Get it while it's hot.
Can I tell you, can we preview this? I think we can tease this. New can coming out.
Careful.
I'm just saying.
There's a new can coming out.
There might be a beautiful work of art in the future.
Yeah, a lot of different colors in
it. I've heard a rumor. I just heard a rumor.
Many colors in it.
Oh, I can't believe you went that far. I was toeing the line, I thought. Then he just...
It's colorful.
The line. It's very colorful.
Which colors are on? Never mind. Yeah,
all of them, actually.
Oh, okay.
Colorful can.
Colorful can coming out. It's going to be the talk of the town.
It will be. Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Make sure to pick up some Mile High City Copper Lagers today. If you don't know where to get Breck Brew, check out the Breck Brew beer locator on their website. If you're local, stop into the DNVR bar. We've got Breck Brew on tap, a Breck Brew, and a Bones Highland. That's the recipe for a great night.
Oh, man, that is the recipe.
That's all you need.
Dude, everybody's ordering the Bones. I love it, man.
Yeah.
Makes me so happy.
As a big salmon guy, I full approve.
By the way, remember, tag Bones.
Yes.
Right. Quit tagging us. It's not our burger.
I tagged him tonight. I ate it. I took a picture and I tagged him.
There you go. Yeah, tag him, not us.
Yeah.
Also, I didn't score any points tonight.
At DraftKings Sportsbook, the NBA season is heating up. There's still many unknowns. Will the Nuggets ever play defense? That's an unknown right now. When I'm looking to get in on the action, I bet with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NBA team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Also, right now, everybody can earn up to a 100% profit boost with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. You guys know how that works. The more legs you add to your same game parlay, the bigger your profit boost is. 10 legs, you get 100% profit boost. Download the app now. Sign up with code DNVR. Place a $5 pregame moneyline bet on any NBA team to win their game. Get $150 in free bets if they do. That's code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Man, the Nuggets were coming into tonight number 2 in the West. Guess how far they fell?
No.
7.
Nope, they're still number 2, baby.
Oh,
let's
go.
It's basically a winner's lounge.
It's basically a winner's
lounge.
Where's
the rock yet?
I mean, they did fall further behind the Suns.
We just need to keep the Nuggets and Suns 1-2
by Christmas.
Before December 25th.
I will say, though, they're actually now tied with their next opponent, the New Orleans Pelicans. And you were mentioning, you know, on this very show, or in that very ad read about, you know, Nuggets defense or whatever. Pelicans are pretty good. 7th in offensive rating, man, and percolating now with Zion getting... more and more dominant over the solution.
The Pelicans also always just score all their points in the paint against the Nuggets.
Like, against everyone, though.
Yeah.
I'm just so scared of that.
I just have this vision of the Pelicans scoring like 70, 80 points in the paint against Denver.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm scared of that game.
Yeah.
Like, really, like...
It is a scary game.
They're just going to continue to just go inside every single time.
Get a split, man. Just get a split.
I feel a Jokic bounce backer. I feel a reminder game coming.
I mean, I hope so.
He likes this game, I think.
He likes the Pelicans. He likes the 1:30 afternoon.
He likes
Sunday
going
matinee.
Up against Big Val.
You know, it would be classic Nuggets likes. Because that's the game that's going on during football. Right. Nobody will know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
might
they're
have 70.
Look unbeatable. Yeah. We're going to feel like idiots.
We're
going to
feel so bad.
Yeah.
Let's just talk quickly to put a bow on this. What's the runway, Dev, for this defense to look good before we start saying, like, because here's the thing, like, you know, a lot of people reaching out just saying, you know, hey, man, I see the Nuggets doing well. Like, what can you tell me? Are they contenders, this, that? And I keep telling them, like, I think they're really good, man. I just got to see them guard first. I just got to see them defend before I can say that they're for real. And I still believe that. We're only 22 games into the season. I don't want to – that's not using that as an excuse. I'm just saying I'm not writing them off. But if you ask me right now, can this team guard the top teams in the NBA? No, they can't guard them. Like, right now, no.
Yeah, but I think that's the fear because when you get into the playoffs, you're going against elite who are just going to be keyed in on those things. And I mean, that's what's going to separate you from being a top team or not a top team. You can't win a championship without playing any defense whatsoever. And I'm not sure what it was in the postgame, but these type of losses, Malone has to call out the team. And until you really, like, put it into a point where guys are, like, thinking about it and being, like, sat on the bench because they're not defending or minutes are, you know, getting, you know, cut because you're not I think that it has to be a big change that happens where it starts from above and then you have to go down. Call out Jokic in these type of situations. Call out Jamal Murray in these type of situations. The bench.
Well, I think he did after the game they won.
That's the issue.
That's actually a hilarious point. That Malone pushing the buttons or whatever is like, dude.
Nobody's listening to those. That's when he does do it, and then he finds like positives in these type of losses.
Right.
That there has to be a change.
I've been hanging my hat on the fourth quarter defense, the clutch defense.
I know.
The number one clutch defense in the league. Well, they gave up 27 points in the fourth quarter.
I mean, it's because they were down so much that the third quarter became the clutch quarter. Like, they had to.
Yeah, they gave up 30 in the third.
Well, there you go.
Jeez.
Kale, can we get to all the super chats?
There's just two.
Oh, God.
Two sickos, man. Let's do it. I can't see that far.
He says, appreciate you guys calling out Yoke. Even when on paper he looked good, he really wasn't. It shows you are true, true fans. All the Nuggets will be good.
All the Nuggets will be good.
That is, by the way, that is very clearly a Serbian friend. And to have such positivity on today of all days as a Serbian.
Hey, man, that's
impressive.
We tell
man.
It how it is.
Cheers.
Man, cheers, man.
Big Namek? Big Name K? No Christian, and yet another clown show. For the podcast listeners, he did spell clown the fun
oh,
way.
I love it.
With
good
Malone
job.
Being the ringmaster of this one. We really need a coach capable of in-game adjustments.
I'll tell you what, it's funny, man. Like, the temperature in the fan base, I feel, is turning up on Michael Malone in ways I hadn't seen. But this is inevitable. Go. Right or wrong, like, look, fans always go to coach first and foremost. Even a lot of analysts go to coach first and foremost. Like, it's the first spot you go. All I'll say is this. The Nuggets are in that zone right now, man. Like, they've been on the ascent for 5 years. Then Murray got hurt for 2 years. You were on that part. Like, you're at the point now where anything less than getting over the hump or reasonably selling that you are right there on the cusp, anything short of that is now considered a failure, and you start to make changes. So I'm not saying the Nuggets are going to fire Malone. I'm just saying, I know a lot of people hate whenever it's brought up. I'm just saying this is the time where it's like, hey, man, Denver is all in.
Yeah.
So they have to start making all-in decisions, and I hope I want Malone to be the guy, and I'm just saying that conversation will come if not
right,
now,
of
but
course.
If they don't get over
when
the
you're
hump.
In a championship or bust season, like, you have super high expectations. Like, we're going to demand that the Nuggets look like a championship team because that's what they should be.
Right.
And we'll call them out if they're not.
They're not a good defense, and Michael Malone has said that's his thing. That's what he's going
to
do.
Top five defense, still a little bit of work to get there. but look, like, that's just what comes with a championship or bust season, which is what this is.
The Ryan Saunders part of all of this. I mean, Malone doesn't really usually talk too much about his assistant coaches or what they do, but
it's tough to know that stuff too.
It's so tough. But my point is, I want to know, like, what is unique about this year? What is it?
Well, they're playing the same scheme.
But what is
it?
But my point is, like, hey, we have aspirations to be this and that. Like, well, what was the plan to get there? Because whatever, and how is it not working? And what's the new step or what's the new adjustment?
Yeah.
And if it's just, well, they're not executing the right plan, that's still a problem. It's still like, well, that's, you got to get your team to execute a plan. Otherwise, the plan doesn't work if it's just a theoretical one.
I do want to say, you know, it would make, if it's full logic for, you know, if the team, as Wynn said, if it's a championship or bust season and you bust, you look at the coach. But if it doesn't work there, you know, the other thing they've never done, and we've said this, and I don't mean it, any disrespect to any individual, but they have not ever built an elite staff of assistants. They never have. And that's one thing, you know, that's one area maybe, you know, maybe rather than, well, Malone does XYZ wrong, let's get him out of here. It's let's get guys in who can help him with XYZ. And look, again, I'm not on the bench. I don't know who does or doesn't do what behind these closed doors we're not allowed behind, you know? But I do know there's a sort of bottom line to it all. And the bottom line is, you know, this staff has not gotten the most out of this roster defensively so far.
Dev, you want to take us around the association to wrap up our Friday, wrap up our week, head us off into the weekend?
Best part of the show.
By the way, real quick, tomorrow we are doing the World Cup watch party. Is it 8 o'clock, Kale? It's 8 o'clock, right?
8 a.m.
We do have the brunch menu. You're probably going to want to be here at 7 o'clock. Doors open at 6:45. You're probably
going to be tough to order food during the game.
It might be. I don't know this. They've actually been like on point, man. I thought that in the last game when we were packed, I had food in like 10 minutes. That was unbelievable.
Wow.
Delicious. But nonetheless, it's a lot of fun to be here. I'm told that the Netherlands all has the flu.
I saw that. Yeah.
So see, half the team has the flu, man. Hey, man.
I hope they lose and they have a Phoenix Suns type of excuse.
The Netherlands?
Yeah.
They are both orange. So there you go.
They slept with a celebrity.
Anyway, tomorrow will be a lot of fun. I won't be here tomorrow at the bar, but a lot of people are going to be here. It's packed. It's a great vibe. And if they win, they will. Am I wrong if I say if they win tomorrow, they will match the farthest they've ever gone in the World Cup, right? I'm pretty sure of it. I don't think they've ever been to the semis, and that would take them to the quarters. They've only ever been to the quarters, so.
I believe so, yeah.
History could be tied tomorrow.
Let's make history!
We could tie history, which in soccer is considered a win, basically. I don't know. It's really weird. Yeah. Go for the tie.
Respect the game.
Sorry.
Respect the game.
All right, Dev, quickly around the association. Let's race.
All right, looks like the Hornets beat the Wizards. In this game, we had our guys going against each other. Monte Morris plays in it. He had 12 points in the game. Will Barton had 7.
He had a dunk.
Bill had 33.
He had a dunk.
But in this game, a guy that I haven't heard of in a long time, maybe this is first time back for a while, Mason Plumlee.
Oh, wow, it is our old friend.
I was like, who's our guy?
Yeah, 17 points, 10 rebounds in the game.
3 assists. Don't count him short. He went mini yoke.
He did the damn thing. The Heat get the win over Boston in overtime, 120-116. It looks like Jimmy Butler says, slow down, Jason Tatum. Jimmy Butler comes and has 25 points, 15 rebounds in the game.
Jimmy Butler is such a badass.
I love Jimmy Butler, man.
He's such a badass.
Bam Adebayo has 28 points.
He was a minus 10, though. He was a minus 10 tonight, Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, they won.
And Tyler Hero has 26. I'm sure, I didn't watch the game, but I'm sure he guarded Jason Tatum, just to kind of slow him down. This guy has been going nuts. He has a 0-for-7 from the three-point line type of night. I know you like that vote. 14 points he finishes with. Jaylen Brown has 37.
The best news of the night. The best news of the
night. Is it weird to you, though, like if Devin Booker – I've seen some people out there, like it's starting to become a consensus. You know, the two best MVPs right now are Tatum and Booker, and I'm just like, damn.
More of a Giannis guy myself.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
More of a Giannis guy. Yeah, it's
why do we hate
horrible.
Everyone?
I live in a nightmare.
Yeah, it's not fun. Yeah. The Nets beat on the Raptors.
They did.
Kyrie Irving has his best game since he's been back. He has 27 points in this game to lead all scorers. Kevin Durant only has 17 points in it in the game. Pascal Siakam had 24 points. OG Anunoby with 21 points in the game.
What's the Raptors' record?
Nah, I don't know.
They're like 500?
Right? No, I think they're below 500.
And they lost tonight?
I think so. Wait, why? You're looking at some roster
stuff?
Just
thinking about some potential trade teams.
Central trades.
The guy you're thinking of can't play in Toronto.
The Cavaliers have 107 points in the game. They beat the Magic.
How did Bol Bol do? Hold on. You got to get the – we're on Bol Bol.
I don't know. I didn't see his name on the timeline, so I'm guessing bad.
3 points.
3 points.
Oh,
23
weird.
Minutes. He looked like he's played off the floor at
looks
this
like
point.
He was back in a Nuggets jersey.
Well, no, he was on the court. He had 3 blocks, though, so I guess there was at least that.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell has 34 points in this one. And the Cavs are playing without guys, so they got that that win there. We also have the Lakers. This is the shocker. The Lakers beat the Bucks.
It was a weird night in the league. I think we can just disregard everything.
I think it's
tonight.
All a wash. Yeah, you're right, weird night.
Anthony Davis has 44 points. He rupped for 44 points, 10 rebounds. He takes 27 shots in this game.
Well, trade him while he's hot.
18 of 27.
So high.
LeBron has 28 points, 11 assists. I think he takes over as the number one assist guy of all time in this game, LeBron. Maybe I made that up.
No, you made that up for sure. It's John Stockton by a mile.
I think I like the Lakers.
He just passed. No, yeah, he just. It's the Lakers.
Number one assist guy for the Lakers. There we go. It is, yeah. Wait. He passed Magic Johnson, I think.
Yeah, that's what happened in this game.
But, right. Like, career.
To ever wear a Lakers jersey. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. All right.
Well, all right. There's a lot of qualifiers
to
that.
That's not a stat.
That's not a stat.
With LeBron, that's a stat. Like, they could say he did it with the flu. He has the most assists of all time.
Yeah, that's so true.
They just put anything in there.
He did have the flu one
Giannis
time.
Has 40 points in the loss, 16 of 23, 0 for 3 from the three-point line, of course.
Jeez, that was, are you being a hater over there?
No, I'm just saying. Drew Holiday.
Are you a Giannis hater?
I love Giannis. I think he's the best player in the league.
He kind of lost Dev with the ladder thing. Like, Dev was on the, yeah, really,
you're on the Montrezl Harrell side of that.
Yeah. He really got his boy Montrez, man. Really.
Not at all. Not at all. Drew Holiday has 28 points in this game. They did welcome back Chris Middleton in his game. He plays 26 minutes on his first game back in a very, very long time. The Grizzlies get the win over the Sixers, 117 to 109. I haven't heard Embiid in a long time. Like, I really just haven't. I don't know if
he was injured.
They must be winning. I mean, losing games. He has 35 points, 12 rebounds, and 8 assists in this
game.
That's
a good stat line. That is a good stat line. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, we're down bad so bad.
Our foes are thriving.
We're down real bad.
We made that Tatum
right
line again.
Hold on. He was crazy. Terrible tonight.
John Morant has 28 points, 8 rebounds in the game. 8 rebounds. He had 28 shots in the game. This was like a Luka type of night for him. And then to close us out, the Pelicans beat the Spurs, who I'm sure tried hard in this game. Zion had 30 points to lead all scorers. He also had 15 rebounds.
Do the whole 15 and 8 assists.
Wow.
Yeah. 30, 15, and 8.
It's a big time. And he, look at his plus minus. Plus 20. I guess it was the Spurs. What are we reading plus minus for?
Yeah, but it's so much higher than everyone else. Plus 28. That's insane. No, you just don't talk about Spurs highlight. They don't have highlight players.
Yeah, we can probably skip that.
They don't have anybody.
Yeah.
Suns get the Rockets right now, so the Suns get to feel good about themselves. Devin Booker has 31 points on 11-15. That's the one that's like, Devin Booker, I have to tip my hat to him. Absolutely on fire.
He is on fire.
He's on fire, man. Utah's also up on the Pacers, 83-71. And it looks like Golden State is up on the Bulls. So does the standings change after those three teams play, or no, or not? I mean, the Suns are already in first.
Suns are in first.
Utah, they'll move another game up, I guess.
I think they're all down there. I think Denver's safe in their two spot right now. It's just going to come down to New Orleans in that game. So, cue that outro music.
One super chat I missed.
Well, you can still cue the outro music. We'll read it here as it comes in. Oh my God, it's a miniature one. Who could possibly read it?
We got to zoom in.
I got this.
I read that.
Get all the way up in there.
Tragic loss. Maybe drop defense isn't working. See you gents on the 10th for the party bus.
Hell yeah.
Hoping to start more Adam Mara's chance. Win. Do you want to take the drop coverage?
Thanks to Matt Moore for jumping in the comments here.
Does that matter?
Shout out HP Basketball. Love you, man.
The party bus, by the way, sold out, baby.
Oh,
two buses.
Go. Let's go.
We do have one ticket remaining. So it's just one. So if you are wanting to fly solo, it's karma or not karma. It's, am I dumber than what? I used to be?
After watching
fate. It's fate. It's fate.
Yes.
It's fate. You, if you're looking for just a solo ticket, you're the person to buy it.
Also, the February one is already planned and available. You can already buy those tickets.
January and February. January will be our biggest one. We have the most tickets available to us. February also will be a banger. So if you want to, hopefully you buy this one last ticket because then we're sold out. If you want to get January and February, I'm telling you, they just get bigger and bigger. The groundswell grows.
Be a great Christmas present.
Great Christmas present, man. All right, everybody. Thank you for hanging with us on this losery Friday night. Be safe, everyone. Hit the like button on the way out.